Hello, Gallatin Valley. You're listening to Body Politic on KGVM Bozeman 95.9 FM. I'm your host, Dr. Nurse Nancy. It has become a truism that COVID-19 shines a light on many long-standing inequities in our society. Today, we will be talking about how the pandemic highlights the threat of loss of culture and language for the Northern Cheyenne. Our guests today are Kay Medicine Bull and her parents Larry and Rose Medicine Bull. Kay studied community health at Montana State University, and she and I worked as colleagues on a public health program based in Bozeman. She is an enrolled member of the Northern Cheyenne Nation and is half Navajo on her mom's side. Kay is active with People's Partner for Community Development, a nonprofit dedicated to strengthening the reservation economy while maintaining connections to the land, traditional values, and cultural history. Kay's father, Larry Medicine Bull, is an enrolled member of the Northern Cheyenne Tribe, as well as a hereditary chief. He worked at St. Labre School as a Cheyenne language and cultural teacher for 20 years and taught at Lame Deer School for 14 and a half years as the language and cultural teacher as well. He is currently working as a delivery person for the Northern Cheyenne Elderly Program. Because he is a fluent Cheyenne speaker, he can visit and check on elders as well as delivering lunches to them. Kay's mother, Rose Medicine Bull, is an enrolled member of the Navajo Nation. She attended Brigham Young Boarding School, operated by the Church of Jesus of Latter-day Saints. She married Kay's father in 1981 and has lived on the Northern Cheyenne Reservation since then, where she was a devoted Head Start teacher for 37 years. Also joining us is Lauren White, a health education specialist and epidemiologist. Lauren spent time on the Northern Cheyenne Reservation in 2015 and is a good friend of Kay's. And even though Lauren is actually in the middle of a move today and just dropped off her U-Haul truck, she agreed to be available to help us in case we need information on health disparities in terms of COVID. So thank you so much, Lauren. Before we just kind of open up the conversation, I wanted to say that Kay and I spoke about this radio show and kind of came up with the idea for it maybe 4 or 5 days ago on the telephone. And about an hour after our talk, Kay posted something on Facebook that I thought was so moving. She wrote, "Ugh, my heart. I have had such heavy, deep conversations lately, and I realize that our Cheyenne language is almost to the point of extinction. I write this with tears in my eyes and a lump in my throat because we've taken our grandparents and elders for granted, and now we only have a few fluent Cheyenne speakers left. We've had so much time before the pandemic to learn. Now we're at such a critical time in our lives, and our elders are so vulnerable that it's right there looking at us. It's scary. And each loss of an elder leaves with their songs, their cooking skills, stories, and their family history. We're a small tribe, so it's not hard to feel the loss of our Cheyenne elders. Even though we're not all directly related, we're related somehow, some way, or had some interactions with each other. I'm scared for my parents and relatives, but my dad always told me we're put on this earth for one reason and one reason only, and that is to pray. Right now, it feels like that time. Dear Creator, my Heo, please take pity on us. We need to keep our Cheyenne-speaking treasures safe. Please pray and keep our elders safe. I don't know what it's going to take or how we come over this, but right now, let's pray for protection, people who are sick, and the people who are grieving. Maheo, hear our prayers."
I'll sing a song, but I'll use some English words so you can understand.
Okay.
Way on the yan on the ho, on the ho in the ne yo. Way on the yan on the ho, on the ho in the ne yo. Way on the yan on the ho, on the ho in the ne yo. Our dear Heavenly Father, God, bless our children, watch over our grandchildren. Usually we start that psalm four times over. Four is our sacred number as well as number seven. So that's for my children and for my grandchildren.
You have spent your life trying to preserve culture, and you married a woman who in fact experienced boarding schools, which were at first created to kill Indian culture. Could you talk to us a little bit about the importance of language as a way to preserve culture?
We had which we call the Language Coalition Group here on the reservation. We met every week to discuss how many fluent speakers we have left. And then recently we just lost four fluent speakers, and that took the numbers down to them. So really, I don't really know how many are left that can speak the Cheyenne language fluently.
Did you grow up speaking your native language?
Yeah. From the time I learned how to talk, I didn't talk English until I went to school.
Really? Tell me about your parents a little bit.
My parents were pretty good. They taught us how to do things. Like my dad used to tell me to show, when he was showing me something to do, he said, "I'm going to only tell you once, so you better be paying attention or listening." Mm-hmm. So that would get me attentive to see what he was doing, to pay attention.
Mm-hmm. And what kinds of things was he doing?
More like chopping wood, sawing, go down to the river and break the ice to get water. I took out a horse. That was my passion. After that, I used to like to ride horses after that.
You rode horses a lot?
Mm-hmm. Pretty much in my junior high years.
Okay.
So all that time we spoke like Cheyenne. And sometimes when we couldn't say anything in Cheyenne, we throw in the English word. Nowadays, it's like that. People throw in English words along their sentences, in their sentences. To the ones that don't understand the language can know what's being talked about, they all say they're talking about us. Mm. Or not.
Mm. That if you're speaking your own language, people who don't understand say they're talking about us.
Well, that pretty much sums it up, but we know we won't talk about them. I mean, we can talk about them, we'll tell them directly. Yeah. Beating around the bush. So much, yeah.
When you went to school, how was it learning? So you had to do all your classes in English, is that right?
Yeah. Mm-hmm. That was the first time I saw a light bulb.
Oh, wow. Okay. And were you, you went to school, you were having to do your classes in this new language, and if you went back and spoke your own language, mm-hmm. Were you told, stop it, that's wrong?
But at my age, when we went to school, we spoke Cheyenne and nobody told us to not talk our own.
Okay.
They had nuns. We had nuns who were as teachers. Uh-huh. And one of them said, speak your language. It sounds beautiful. I like listening to you.
Ah. Did any of them speak Cheyenne?
Ooh, the teachers?
The nuns, yeah, the teachers.
Mm-hmm. Some wanted to learn, but they said it was too hard to learn.
Well, and Rose, so you went to a boarding school. What was your, first of all, this was in the 1970s, right?
Somewhat, yeah.
And, or maybe earlier?
There was quite a few boarding schools I went to. I remember our grandmother raised us, and there was three of us. It was my two cousins, younger and older one. And my grandmother was at the age where sometimes she couldn't do much. And I know it was hard on us on a winter time because we didn't have electricity in the house. And it was like outdoors, porta potties, our bathroom. And then we had to get water from the hill up one of our neighbor's house. But anyway, the first time we went was to Ignacio Boarding School, and I think I cried my eyes out, and our grandmother felt really bad, so she took us back. And then the year, I can't remember what year it was, we went to Albuquerque Boarding School, too, and I guess it was hard on us because we didn't know there was like another tribe and different pueblos going to school there. But I think we didn't stay there very long too. And then the third one was Brigham Young University or Brigham Boarding School. And there I thought it was really good because there was like different tribes and whatnot, but sometime along there was like some tribes weren't getting along with other tribes, and there was kind of like a chaos there where they were trying to beat, you know, each other up and whatnot, and we didn't want to be in that kind of environment, so we ended up calling our aunties, and they bought bus ticket for us, and then we eventually went back home. So I didn't think, you know, one school elsewhere didn't make really wasn't for us, I guess. And like I said, the only thing what we really learned from that was, you know, our grandmother really taught us to learn how to be independent and doing things on our own. So that was, and then the other thing was she really didn't believe in traditional ways, but after I think our grandfather had passed, she more turned into going to church and kind of like in Pentecostal church and growing up that way.
Okay, so not so much traditional spirituality, or was it kind of a mix?
It was kind of a mix for us, trying to understand that. But, you know, as I look back on it now, I kind of understand it more, a little bit more than I do now.
And for you, how did your own spirituality evolve then? Was it more Christian or was it more traditional, or what would you say?
Well, the first thing is, and I believe in our tradition, and I believe more of that, and just pray along knowing there's one creator that we pray to. So I just leave myself kind of like right in the middle.
Okay.
And I attend church, and I pray every day, and that, you know, we, like they say, we only have one creator, and that's who we pray to.
Okay. Thank you. And Kay, could you talk a little bit more about, I mean, the post that you wrote, based on the responses, seemed to ring bells with a whole lot of people. Can you talk more about what this COVID pandemic has made you more aware of and think of in terms of the loss of elders?
The culture, learning, and I guess what I know kind of made me realize that I don't know as much as I thought I did.
Yeah.
And then, and we have fluent speakers and we have people that know stories and use different cooking methods, or, you know, like with our traditional medicines and stuff, and that's not really being shared. And we only have a few people that share that information, and they're here with us still, you know, right now. But like within this past month, I would say, we've lost so many people. I mean, even though they weren't fluent Cheyenne speakers, they knew something. They knew how to bead. They knew how to, or just remembered whatever their parents or grandparents taught them. And so then I realized that, holy cow, you know, my family doesn't really know how to do those things. I don't know how to bead. I don't know how to, cut meat from a deer or something like that. So it's just all these little things that we take for granted, like, oh, they'll be here, I'll go learn that, or I'll, you know, I always say that I'm gonna learn the doll story making from this elderly lady. Her name is Myrna Burgess, and she's still with us, but you know, she could go at any time too because of this COVID. And we always say we're going to record their stories or we're going to record their songs, and we don't do it. And it's always almost too late.
Well, I'm glad you're recording at least your thoughts today and that you brought your parents to be part of this. Lauren, could you talk with us a little bit about, we know that COVID has highlighted existing health disparities. Could you talk with us a little bit about sort of how it's played out in Indian country, and specifically for Northern Cheyenne people, if you know, but in general in Indian country?
In general, what we're seeing in places with higher health disparities, so, you know, obesity, lack of access to care, poverty, we are seeing a major increase. It like increases your risk of hospitalization and morbidity outcomes. So, and that's definitely taking place pretty nationally throughout Indian country, just based on my research in it. So that's kind of been, it's absolutely devastating, especially like hearing Kay, you know, talk about, you know, they're there and they're always there. And we are, you know, every nation is losing elders and loved ones. But it really is hitting home in small communities like the Northern Cheyenne Reservation, where, you know, the odds are already stacked against them health disparity wise because of the situation they were put in by, you know, us way back in the day, by the government way back in the day. I mean, the obesity, you can tie that back to the food commodities, right. That kind of stuff. And that stuff that really does impact COVID-19 outcomes. So obesity is a high risk factor for that. And I've learned, you know, a lot with the COVID stuff. We learned it on the fly. But the stuff that I know about health disparities facing the reservations comes from my time with the Northern Cheyenne. So it was, yeah.
Okay. You're listening to Body Politic on KGVM Bozeman 95.9 FM. We're talking with Kay Medicine Bull and her parents, Larry and Rose, as well as health education specialist and epidemiologist, Lauren White. Kay and Lauren, you could probably speak to this too. Kay, when you and I were on the phone, you talked about, it's not like there's a ton of stores, a ton of gas stations, a ton of places where people can go for things they need during the pandemic. And you were saying it was really pretty hard to do social distancing. And can you talk about that a little bit, about just how the physical resources on the reservation may have impacted the spread of COVID?
So when I was thinking about what we could do to prevent the spread. I was thinking about all the places that people, where the pieces people go to, and it hit me, and I realized that we only have one store, one grocery store, one hardware store, one bank, one post office, and one, we have one coffee shop. Okay. And one clinic that has all these parts in it, that has one entryway and one emergency room. So we have, and we have the tribal building, in which has different departments in this one building. So, and then we have the Boys and Girls Club. So, and that turned into the distribution center for food.
And okay, then, now tell me about that. So under the pandemic, there was a food distribution center that was set up there?
Yeah, so the tribe set up a MOU with the Boys and Girls Club, and we became the food distribution center. And we've got the stimulus COVID relief monies from the federal government. And so we just started buying all the basic necessities, and we got kept the Boys and Girls Club staff on by them becoming tribal employees. And so they got to keep their jobs. And then every week they were giving out food boxes to families. And now we were just doing it just because, you know, it didn't really hit us until late August. And then before, it was almost like it wasn't real. And then until we knew somebody that had it, that got complications, got sick, and eventually passed away, that it became real to me. And that the desperation for food too, like, okay, then, you know, stores are very limited. Stores only have certain things. Just like I went to the store looking for Tylenol at our little store in Ashland, there is no Tylenol. And, you know, where do you go for those kind of things? And we're so close to two different places, Colstrip, Montana, and Hardin. But, you know, as well, that place, crows are hit too, close to different counties, hit hard too. So a lot of people are trying to avoid those areas. And and just like we said, we only have one place for all of our members to go. Like, what is that? I don't know. There's like 2,000 people in Lame Deer, Lauren? I don't know. But yeah, so that, you know, you have just those one basic needs stores for all these people in one area.
So can you talk a little bit, just tell me, walk me through how you and your family dealt with it during the shutdown? You were working at the Boys and Girls Club?
Yeah, I'm still working at the Boys and Girls Club, but I work for the state of Montana under the Maternal Early Childhood Home Visiting Program. So I work for the state working with young families and children 0 to 3. I got to stay on, but I work from home. And my family, as soon as this hit back in March, I got to work from home. And then my parents, I kept stressing to them, you got to stay home, you got to wear a mask, you got to wear gloves, you got to sanitize everything when you bring it back home. So I think we held off for as long as we could, all the Northern Cheyenne tribe. And then in the beginning, it was so good because people kind of realized it and got it that, like, hey, you need to follow the rules and stay home. And curfew was going on, I think, at 10 o'clock and lifted at till 6 o'clock in the morning. And people weren't traveling. There was hardly any movement. Our chiefs were involved. They were the ones kind of going to each district and telling them, you know, you need to stay home, talking in Cheyenne, talking in English, and telling them, you know, that they love them, they care for them, that, you know, this is, you need to stay safe, protect each other. And then I think people could only stay home for so long. And then, you know, we had people, we had conflict, and it just kind of got a little crazy here. And then in August, you know, that's when we first heard about someone getting the virus, and then it was in the tribal building. So we were really good for a little bit, and then we got laxed, and it almost felt like it wasn't real until we knew somebody that had it.
And it was somebody in the tribal building.
Right.
Sundance.
Mm-hmm. Okay. How are things now?
Still a little scary. I think we have 19, 20 people in the hospital right now in Billings. Even the hospitals in Billings are getting reaching capacity. So they're sending them to Red Lodge and Great Falls, other places. And, you know, Crow Northern Cheyenne Hospital is packed too. So we have all our members kind of all over, and then we have them passing away by themselves. And it's just really sad that nobody can be there with them, you know, as many stories we hear.
Yeah. So what, as you and other people are realizing, the loss, you know, the ongoing loss of elders, but highlighted by COVID and what that means for the culture, do you think that there will be coming out of this any even increased interest in activities to preserve the culture and the language?
I would say so, but not as fast as I think we should be moving. Mm-hmm. I feel like there's like little startup groups, and then everything kind of falls to the wayside. And the Boys and Girls Club, we started implementing the Cheyenne language. There's a little program that we put on the computers at the Boys and Girls Club. And so for about a half an hour after school, the kids would take turns and rotate into the computer lab only to use the computers to learn Cheyenne language. And then we started putting up words, you know, what a door was, what, you know, little things inside the Boys and Girls Club.
Labeling
things. And then, you know, when we, the floor staff, the people that work with the kids, they would talk to them, use words, commands in Cheyenne. And then the kids would, you know, hey, they said line up, you know, then they would line up, or let's go wash our hands. So then they were getting it, but then that shut down too. So we haven't had any kids at the club since February.
Mm. Rose, are there things that you have done or do with your grandchildren and now your great-grandchild to help them know the culture?
My grandbaby here, she just turned 2 years old. Like doing things with her at home, like we do animals.
Mm-hmm.
And counting, and then just kind of like teaching her the basic words for now.
Okay.
Like sweet, different fruits that I show her, and then she likes it. Just counting, you know, and a lot of things at an early start, colors, animals. Just basic.
Well, so you are Navajo, but do you speak Cheyenne?
I just know some words, a few words, like sleep, eat, just basic words.
Okay. Do you think that there is any chance that your grandbaby, I guess great-grandbaby now, right, will be a fluent speaker someday?
I'm hoping she'll be.
We've been talking about what the COVID pandemic highlights about the loss of Northern Cheyenne language and culture as elders pass on. Join us in the next half hour for more Body Politic on KGVM Bozeman as we continue talking with Lauren White and Kay Rose and Larry Medicine Bull.